everybody, and welcome to the Blind Handyman Show number 93.
September 94.
94?
Yeah.
No, it's 93, Sean.
Okay. Yeah, we did 93 last week.
I thought it was 92.
Yeah, y'all did 93.
We did 93 last week, then we don't have to make up a number.
No, we don't.
No, I thought it was 93. We'll talk about it in a minute. Get out of here.
Okay, this is September 21st, 2004, and we are recording the Blind Handyman Show right here at the Little Ranch House on Southwood Drive here in Lufkin, Texas. Host for the show, ladies and gentlemen, Don Patterson.
Hi there. If we're missing a show...
You don't look official.
If we're missing a show, it's number 92.
Oh. Okay, Don Shaw, hi there.
Hey there, Mr. Tom.
Dale Campbell, are you there, sir?
I am here. How are you guys doing today?
Oh, fine. Good to have you along today. But let me introduce the creator and producer of the Blind Handyman Show. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, Phil Paul.
All right, now, Shaw. Don Shaw, front and center, sir. Up to your mic.
Yeah.
Belly up to the bar.
That's right.
You're telling me that this that we're doing here is show 94.
I believe so. Brought back 93. Y'all did 93 last week while I was gone.
Okay. Why don't we count them when we get off?
When we get in the house. Why not?
Yeah, because if this is 94, then we're not going to be short one.
Well, you know, we said, because even Tom, when he was out at his little ranch house on Burke last week, asked us what show number, and we told him 93. See, and so, like I say, if we're missing one, then it's 92.
Well, that would be easy to take a look back and see.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is number 94 officially.
If this is 94, then I counted right. I think it's four.
I counted this up
back in July and figured when we would be during the 100th show, and I thought I had it right. I did it twice. What the hell?
Yeah.
We may be doing a couple 99s.
Yeah.
What 99 part one, 99 part two.
I don't know what that is. The cooking show that we do in Houston ought to be Blind Like Me number 60, and we ought to do number 100 of the Blind Handyman Show.
We'll probably wake up in a minute anyway, and it'll be all a dream.
Probably. I think it is. Or a nightmare or something.
Yeah.
It'll be all right, y'all.
Dr. Dale, how is everything in Big H?
We are doing fantastic. In fact, as soon as we get done with the show, I'll be hot-footing it over to get the papers signed on our house. We finally sold that
old house.
Great, man.
Good.
So that's a huge relief off our minds.
So you're no longer a two-condo family.
No. We're no longer real estate rich and cash poor.
So not only a relief off your minds, but off your pocketbook.
Yeah, and we lucked out. We missed having to make two payments on both properties just by a few days. So our first payment on the new place is due, the first of the month.
So they're actually buying. You've got the buyers ready to...
Yeah, they're actually buying everything signed, sealed. In fact, as far as I know, they've already closed.
Wow.
So we'll be going over to sign the papers this afternoon and turn over the keys and walk away.
That is so good.
Great. It's a huge relief. And just everything just fell into place. I kind of started getting on my real estate agent saying, hey, you need to start, she was telling us, you need to lower your price. And I'm like, no, I think you need to start working a little harder. have an open house or something. And sure enough, she had an open house, and the couple walked in right as she was getting ready to leave, the second day of the open house, and put a contract on it right there on the spot.
Is that right?
What a deal.
Well, so it worked out well, guys.
That must be the first thing those real estate agents learn in real estate school is lower the price.
Yeah, let me be an order taker. Heaven forbid I work a little bit for your money,
$10,000
that she's going to be making off of this deal. I'm like, hey, you can go sit at the house for a day.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm happy that's happened. Me too.
Everything's looking up. We got another big announcement coming out. We've got the Cooking in the Dark cookbook, which will be available at the airing of this show.
Is that right?
Yeah,
right.
We've got about 100 and over 160 recipes
from the
cooking list, and we've got them grouped and broken down into, entrees, soups, salads, cakes, desserts, pies, all types of good things. We've got a wonderful lady, Marjorie Arnott, out in Phoenix that's going to be brailing them for us. So it looks like we're going to have 3 to 4 volumes available in braille because we didn't want them to be too long. As it looks now, the entrees and entrees and soups will be one book, and it's going to be selling for $17.50. And then the second book will be salads, side dishes, and vegetables, and bread. And that will also be $17.50. Or if you buy both of them together, we'll give you a 10% discount on them. All those funding, and that's going to be going to the Mousehole Scholarship Program. Marjorie's doing a really great job for us, brailing all these out. We're also going to have them available electronically. We're looking into getting them done on cassette tape and perhaps maybe later on in large print.
And then will they also be on computer discs? So
yes. Yeah, that'll be the electronic file.
Okay.
I've got that put together now, and I'm going through and just doing a final edit on everything, and then that'll all be, you'll be able to get that on a computer disc as well.
Are you going to do the narration on the book?
No. I'm going to be trying to get in touch with Home Readers, a reading service, and see what we can work out.
Get them to read it.
Put them on, you know, put it on a cassette tape for us.
Yeah, that would be the easiest way to do it.
Yeah, so that'll be really neat. I think the electronic format and the Braille format will probably be the two most popular.
Oh, yeah.
People now can take the electronic format and, you know, download it into their Braille notes or whatever, and you know, take those into the kitchen and refer to them there as well. But yeah, the book is just chock full of great recipes. A couple of which I pulled out of the cookbook that we're going to do today, and then there's just some that are hard, some that are easy, some that you'll recognize from being done on a cooking show, others that'll put a smile on everybody's face, especially those desserts, cakes, and pies. You can get fat and fassy by reading that.
Wow. Well, we've already done that. And let's see. What is this? Oh, okay, I see. All right. So, cookbook, when will it be available and where will you get it when it is?
What you'll need to do is just email me at cookinginthedark@houston.rr.com. That's cookinginthedark@houston.rr.com. Or give me a call at 713-876-6971. We'll be taking orders. We do accept major credit cards. You can send me a check if you want to do that. Heck, if you get on the list, join the Cooking in the Dark list, and you'll get all the info. That's cookinginthedark-subscribe@acbradio.org.
What a deal.
And also, I'll tell you, for all the list members, we've just hooked up with Progressive International. We're going to be having some great deals on all types of cooking gadgets, pots, pans, cooking utensils. Goodness gracious. Those little toothpicks with the little party frizzles on the end.
Yeah.
You name it, they've got it available. So
very good.
We've been kind of going through and seeing what they have, and we're going to be posting that to the Cooking in the Dark list, so everybody will be getting a really nice discount on some of those products.
We're not standing still. We're moving forward.
Yes,
moving
on. We're continuing
moving
to roll on down the road. Boy, I tell you, after giving away those scholarships last year to those kids, that just makes me hungrier for more to do this year.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get into today's exciting Cooking in the Dark show. What are we
doing? Cooking
in
the Dark today, we're going to be doing a crispy fried chicken.
Whoa.
We're also going to do a Waldorf salad. We're also doing a crock pot all day macaroni and cheese, which that's already going. And then also for dessert, we're just doing a real plain Jell-O dish.
Okay.
So I've kind of a little bit ahead of y'all as far as the what we did for the crock pot macaroni and cheese. I'll just kind of run through it real quickly. I took about 2.5 to 3 cups of elbow macaroni and prepared it just by boiling it for about 10 minutes. Took it out and mixed it with a little paprika, about a teaspoon of paprika. Put it in a crock pot along with some salt and pepper. And one can of evaporated milk, 12 ounces, and about 1.5 cups of low-fat or 2% milk.
Mm-hmm.
Stirred that all in, added about 1 teaspoon of salt, a little bit of pepper, and then I added 4 cups of grated cheese. Now, the recipe calls for straight cheddar cheese, but I mixed it up. I put in a little mozzarella cheese. I also put in a little cheddar cheese, and I also put some sharp cheddar in it just for a little extra bite.
That'll be fine.
Yeah.
And what you do with this 4 cups, you divide the 4 cups of cheese out into about 3 cups and leave a 4th cup.
Mm-hmm.
Mix up the macaroni, the milk, the salt, pepper, the, you know, the seasonings, and all the grated cheese. Mix all that up together. You also want to put a couple eggs in there as well. Blend it all in together. You know, beat your eggs up before you dump those in.
Yeah.
They'll break down a lot easier. Then once you get all that all in, take your remaining 1/4 cup of cheese and just put it over the top. Put the lid on the crock pot, put it on low, and walk away.
And
in
bingo.
About 6 to 7 hours, come back and scoop it out, serve it piping hot.
Mm.
All right.
Simply delicious and very, very easy. It's one of Penny Reeder sent that in, and it's one of her family favorites. She says they have become knocking on the door whenever she does those recipes. So for
all right.
I guess we'll go on. I went ahead and kind of prepared a lot of stuff here, so I think what we'll do is get the chicken going. This crispy chicken recipe got posted to the list by Claudia, and I'd seen it before, but basically what it is we've taken about 1 cup of flour, about 1 cup of milk, a couple eggs, beat the milk and eggs up. We've mixed it together with the flour. We've added to the flour about a teaspoon of paprika. We've also added about a teaspoon of poultry seasoning, a little salt, a little pepper, just to blend it up. And basically what we're going to do is just take the chicken, dip it in the batter that we've prepared.
Okay, which is what? Which is eggs and flour or what?
Which is the eggs, milk, the flour, the salt, yeah. Pepper.
Okay.
To see the poultry seasoning.
Okay. Which
and then from there, the key to this recipe is you want to take about 4 to 5 cups of Rice Krispies, you know, breakfast cereal, and kind of crush those down. I did it in the food processor.
Yeah.
Kind of crushed them down, got them ready to go.
That would
or
work.
You can take them and use a rolling pin on them, however you want to do it. But
you're
get
gonna...
them, you know, down. And after we roll the chicken in the batter, then we're going to roll them in the crispy. Rice Krispies there.
To make
they're
it
no
stick.
Longer
yeah.
Snap, crackling, and popping. They're kind of squished.
You're going to bake this, aren't you?
Yeah. Then we pop it in a 350-degree oven and let it bake for about an hour.
An hour.
And that is it. An hour or until your chicken is done.
So basically we're doing shake and bake chicken.
Pretty much.
Pretty much. Which
and
I love.
It's a really simple recipe. It's really excellent.
Yeah.
I'm getting the milk and the flour and everything mixed up right now.
Add a little more pepper for me, of course.
Yes, you and me both. What I've learned to do in this house is after the meal is done,
yeah.
That's when I'll add a little more pepper to it. The girls aren't real big on the extras.
Fortunately, my wife loves it. My wife can just take a jalapeno and eat it. Just eat the damn thing. I can't do that.
Right.
I got she can. So you know, no matter how much pepper you add, it doesn't bother her. She doesn't care.
Just bring it up.
All pepper, huh? Have
oh,
little,
yeah. She's
a little fish with your pepper.
She's into that,
yeah.
Into peppering things. And I finally got her to where she peppers things enough to suit me because it takes a lot. But shake and bake chicken, I actually like better than fried.
It's so much easier, or just as easy as doing the fried thing. Plus, you don't have all the grease and everything.
I was by myself one night, and I had some. I didn't do this, but I had some. You know, they make shake and bake, of course, in an envelope that you use. Add a little milk to it, and roll your chicken in it. And I did it in the toaster oven, and it worked out fine.
I bet it
that
would.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
You just need to, you know, we do, pork chops that way a lot.
Yeah.
We do a lot of things oven fried like that.
Yeah.
Instead of the deep frying and all the grease and the oils and everything.
Oh, better for you, yes.
And the margarine.
Yeah, try to stay healthy. You want to live to see 45, you know?
Yeah, about to see 40, though, aren't you?
Ooh, yeah, it's coming on fast.
About to see 40. Yeah.
Hey, it's just a young feller.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. I told everybody I'm going to start counting the other way. I'm going to start going backwards.
We all
I'll
think
I'll be 38
that,
this year, but yeah, I'm not afraid of 40.
Being 40 is not nearly as bad as you think it's going to be.
No.
It'll be fun.
I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be all right. I'll be, live almost half my life by the time I'm 40. I think I'm going to die when I'm about 100 and something. Too mean.
By the time you're 80, there'll people will be living to be 120, though.
Oh, easily.
It'll be no problem.
All right. I'm going to start taking this chicken now. The recipe calls for one chicken and then divide it up, cut him up into his four different, you know, his, all those different parts.
Yeah.
But what I picked out was just some breast.
Mm-hmm. Some legs.
And some legs.
Yeah.
Just because it's, you know, a nice
I'm
good
a
little mix
guy.
Here.
I'm a leg guy. That's what I always do is legs and usually breast really man.
Yeah.
She likes the white meat.
A lot of us
like
guys are that
meat.
Way.
I like the
How's everything looking for the upcoming show?
Looking fine. We're kind of getting ready. I'm starting to kind of assemble things. Our friend John Conley went and bought a mixer for me to use. I was sweating that, and he just went and bought one.
All right.
Nice boy. We've got two of these Plextalk recorders that you've seen advertised. We're going to record on those. I've got one, and he's got one. So we're assembling equipment and people to come. We're all going down in Tom's van. And we don't have enough. We need more, but we've got enough to do it, which is all we needed. Have you thought much about you? I understand you're doing cooking.
Yeah, I'm going to do cooking. I haven't really decided what we're going to do yet on that. I've had some many suggestions. Some of us just sit around and talk about some different tips and ideas. Others,
yeah.
Being there at the hotel, I don't know how much availability we'll have. of stuff.
Hopefully we can have a big table for you. You can do whatever you want, but there won't be any water or fridge or anything like that.
Yeah, that's the thing I was thinking about, cleanup and such. And
all we can do is talk about it, you know.
And talk about it.
It'd be great if we could do some dips and chips or something like that, some different meals.
We could do that.
Some setups like that.
No reason we couldn't.
I thought about playing with it. Anyway, who knows?
Folks,
you'll just have to tune in, or better yet, just come on down and be part of the show.
That'd be the thing to do when come out. You got some dark people coming? Have you worked at that?
I put the word out, and I don't know. I don't know. I haven't heard any. I haven't got any confirmation sent to me about it, no.
We need
a lot of people talking about it.
Yeah.
But then we've got a few folks that are on, you know, both lists, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, bring them on.
It'd be
huh?
nice if we could get Shelly Prue to come and be with us.
Yeah, I don't think she's going to be able to make it. She just lost her brother, bless her heart.
Really?
He was 37.
Wow.
She's such a nice lady, that's true.
Yeah, she started, of course, that project.
Online
access project, which is just great for all us blind folks.
Online instructions for cooking things, which is really, it's really good. And she adds stuff. I get a letter from her every couple of weeks saying she's added so many.
Yeah, do you recall what the last? I think the last they're pushing almost 1,000 products up there now.
If you go, you know, if you got to the something in your cupboard and you the stovetop stuffing and you don't know how to do it, chances are the directions for doing it are going to be there at her website.
At her website,
website.
She takes all the box directions,
yeah,
and people email them to her, all the packages that are at the grocery store that, you know, when you get them home, like, okay, now, hey, how much, you know, like a cake mix, is it one egg or two eggs, or is it a three quarters of a cup of water, or is it milk, or whatever, and usually if you go to her website and pull it up, the website is productaccessproject.org, I believe.
I think it is .org,
And, she will have it listed there. If you don't find it there, find a way to. She's got a form there you can fill out if you can find somebody to help you get it posted.
All right,
let's make it available to everybody.
Let's do our first break, and while you're kind of coating chicken and getting ready, they're back with more Cooking in the Dark. Dale Campbell and all our group here in just a minute. Hang on.
We'll record our 100th Blind Handyman Show, and you're invited to the celebration. We'll arrive Friday, November 5th at the Sheraton on JFK Boulevard. Saturday, we'll spend the day talking about issues related to blindness. Then Saturday night, it's on to live music and karaoke. Sunday morning at 11 a.m., we'll record our 100th Blind Handyman Show, and we've got something special planned for Sunday afternoon. Then Sunday night, it's more live music and karaoke. A great time to meet old friends and make new ones. For more information, call 936-634-9000. Or email philparr@txucon.net. We'll see you in Houston in November. We promise you a great hotel, a good time, and perfect weather. Call 936-634-9500 or email philparr@txucon.net.
You are listening to The Blind Handyman, the talk of the blind community. Our email address is blindhandyman@hotmail.com. If you would like to be a part of the show, leave us a phone number and we will contact you soon. Now, here's more of today's show with Phil Parr.
Well, in our excitement and our stumbling around here, Dale, we've forgotten to read email at all. You want to do that now?
Yeah, let's go ahead and hit a couple of them there.
Tommy is with us.
We had some really interesting dialogue on the list this month.
All right, sure. Go ahead, Tommy.
Okey-dokey. All right, it says, hi, gang. Do I remember right that peppers freeze well? What's the best way to freeze them? I assume I should clean them and remove the seeds first. Is it better to leave them cut in half or chop them before I freeze them? Thanks, Boop.
What do you think?
I don't have any input there. Yeah, this is your department, sir.
You know, this was something that hit me totally off guard, too. I did not know.
Well,
so we one of our great little members, though, just is cooking in the dark. It's so great at this. Somebody doesn't know. Somebody out there always knows.
That's right.
You have the answer there, Mr. Houston?
We do indeed. We had a response from Florence, and she says, all I do is wash the peppers, put them in a Ziploc bag, and freeze whole with all seeds. Yeah. If I'm freezing very many, I wash and put on a cookie sheet and freeze. After frozen, I put them in a larger Ziploc bag. I just cut off as much as I need and replace back in the freezer. I use a lot of peppers in casseroles, omelets, and when cooking many kinds of meats. And that came from Florence.
Patterson, what were you going to say?
No, I was just going to say, yeah, like bell peppers. I've had the most experience. I don't know what they're talking about. Green peppers.
That's exactly what they're
and you
talking
can just,
about.
You can, you know, most of ours are chunked up for spaghetti and or, like she said, casserole. So I cut them up in the chunks and...
That's
put
what
them,
I do.
That's
wash
right.
them and you know, and put them in a bag, and away you go.
I chop them up, remove the seeds, and then cut them into little chunks.
Yeah.
Put them in a freezer bag and freeze them.
Now, this is so that you'll have some on hand when you need them. Is that
yes.
correct?
Right.
Yeah, because getting, the other day at the grocery store, they had, gosh, red, yellow, and, all the bell peppers.
Yeah.
You know, all the peppers on sale for, like, something outrageous, like $5 for $1 or something like that, which is, I mean, even if you go to a farmer's market or someplace, you can probably get them a lot cheaper than that. But, I mean, just by being able to freeze them up, and I like what you guys do is chop them up. And that's what somebody else had wrote in, too, saying they'll chop them up, but they'll have some that are whole, you know, or cut in half that they'll freeze, and they'll have some they've chopped up, you know, to add to any, you know, any little dishes they make.
Uh-huh.
I think that's just a super idea to keep them on hand, keep them frozen, and then you've always got them.
Did we do one time stuffed bell peppers?
No, we haven't.
Show? Man, I love those.
I do, too.
That's what I want tomorrow night, stuffed bell peppers.
They're real good.
Yeah. All right. You know, we'll have to. There's several recipes out there floating around for those.
I bet we do.
Get one of those and do one of those on the next show.
All right, sir. Go ahead.
Oh, this comparison between butter and margarine, that was very interesting.
It was.
It makes you stop and think, doesn't it?
Yes, yeah. It does. It really, really does. So I thought I'd read that, if it's okay.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to read.
Okay. This is some great information.
It says, both have the same amount of calories. Butter is slightly higher in saturated fats at 8 grams compared to 5 grams. Eating margarine can increase heart disease in women by 53% over eating the same amount of butter, according to a recent Harvard medical study. And eating butter increases the absorption of many other nutrients in other foods. Butter has many nutritional benefits, where margarine has a few only because they are added. Butter tastes much better than margarine.
Yep.
And it can enhance the flavors of other foods. Butter's been around for centuries, while margarine has been around for less than 100 years. And now for margarine, it's very high in trans fatty acids, triple risk of coronary heart disease, increases total cholesterol and LDL. This is the bad stuff. That lowers HDL cholesterol, the good cholesterol.
Yep.
It increases the risk of cancer by up to fivefold. Goodness.
Yeah. So you'd be better off eating using butter.
This guy must be
a... Like making here. It says it lowers the quality of breast milk. Go ahead, Pat.
I was going to say, this must be a lobbyist from Wisconsin or something. Butter.
One thing that I had read about this quite a while back was that margarine's melting, it melts at 117 degrees.
Yes, it does.
Which, the next thing you ask is, when is your body ever at 117 degrees? Melt this, you know, anything that's stuck in you, you know, in your intestines or whatever, to melt it out of your, to get it out of your system. You know, it doesn't. It just sits in there.
That's a good question.
That decrease, that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Okay, so margarine increases the rate of cancer in women up to 49%, right?
Right.
So if you liked your wife, you'd tell her that. If you didn't, you just sort of wouldn't mention it.
You'd be serving more butter, huh?
Yeah,
I mean, more margarine.
More margarine. You just wouldn't have some more margarine,
that's
darling.
That's right.
You know, like me to put some margarine on that biscuit for you, baby? That kind of stuff, right?
Margarine up that bread for you.
Like, how'd you like me to margarine up that pizza for you?
Let me put some more on there for you.
Well, I believe in asking the experts, and my dog, Ozzy, I made toast the other morning, and I left the butter, the entire tub of butter, out on the cabinet. Of course, he tips in at 95 pounds and can stand up and get anything. So he said he enjoyed the butter very much.
Oh, man. Thank you very much, huh?
So Osman got
the entire tub.
Well,
the entire
wasn't,
tub of butter.
That wasn't butter. That was margarine tub.
No, this was... This was a creamy butter that Emily bought.
Real butter?
Yeah.
Wow. Real butter? A stick butter?
Well, it's creamy some kind of...
No, that's fake stuff. No,
y'all get the flashlight out of his eyes now.
That's not the real stuff, Don.
You got a little interrogation going on
that's
there.
That's not the real stuff. That's phony. We can't have that. Of course, that probably hurt him. He'd probably die tomorrow.
Anyway. Well, a couple of other things here about margarine before we get to the most disturbing fact they say here.
Okay.
It decreases your immune response, and it decreases insulin response. And the most disturbing fact, that here's the part that's very interesting.
Yeah, it is.
Margarine is but one molecule away from being plastic. Can you believe that?
I had read that before, that it's actually, if you could melt it, you could put it in your car.
Yeah.
And it works motor oil. It's about what it is, really.
Wow.
This kind of flavored oil.
This fact alone was enough to have me avoiding margarine for life and anything else that is hydrogenated. This means hydrogen is added, changes the molecular structure of the substance. You can try this yourself. Purchase a tub of margarine and leave it in your garage or shaded area. Within a couple of days, you will note a couple of things. No flies. Not even those pesky fruit flies will go near it. That should tell you something.
Uh-huh.
It does not rot or smell differently because it has no nutritional value. Nothing will grow on it. Even those teeny weeny microorganisms will not find a home to grow. Why? Because it is nearly plastic. Would you melt your Tupperware and spread that on your toast?
Listen to Dale using his voila there.
Boy.
Yeah, I've got a few things out here. I was making sure this was the nutmeg to add to the Waldorf salad. I don't want to have any more messes up here.
All right, go
ahead. I had paprika out, and I had some poultry seasoning out. And I'm like, all right, let's make sure this is the right.
Yeah, let's make sure, because we don't want to put the...
That margarine stuff now, see?
Yeah.
It's like nice and easy, and they've got great commercials, but, boy, it's not that good for you.
Man, that's just...
It's a wild when you start reading some of this stuff, and then you start thinking about it. It's like, wow.
Yeah, but let's see now. 100 years ago, people ate butter, and they died at 45. Now
right.
We eat margarine, and we live to 85 or 90. So.
That may not be the reason.
Yeah. And we've got real nice plastic-like skin now, you know?
Yeah, it may not have anything to do with why, but we are living longer. I'm not sure that's good, but... Anyway,
we're getting back to here we are.
Where are we here?
We're doing a Waldorf salad here.
Right, that's the one with salmon in it?
And a Waldorf salad is so simple. It's got a great fancy name, doesn't it? I mean, you think you got to get put on a black tie and get all dressed up to go out. But
yeah.
A Waldorf salad is basically three apples peeled and then dice those dudes up, core them and, you know, dice them up.
Love it.
About a cup of diced celery.
All right.
About a half to three quarters of a cup of raisins.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last ingredient is about a cup of chopped walnuts. Combine all these together in a bowl. Add about a teaspoon or half a teaspoon, I guess, of nutmeg. And then start with about a half a cup of mayonnaise. You can either use Miracle Whip or real mayonnaise, whichever floats your boat, whichever you like better. And just mix these all these ingredients together until they're well-coated and well-mixed. Then put it in the refrigerator and chill it. One little hint you might want to do is add a little lemon juice to it. Not much, maybe a quarter teaspoon to half a teaspoon, something like that. If it's going to be a while before you eat it, and that will help keep your apples from turning, you know, brown on you.
Uh-huh. Wait a minute, what happened to the smoked salmon that goes in there?
The smoked salmon is still coming from the website.
we're not having...
We had a post, I'm glad you mentioned that, for a website called vitalsigns.com.
All right.
They're out of Alaska, and they sell flash frozen fish, which means as soon as, like, the salmon they get, the tuna, and salmon, tuna, and gosh, I'm forgetting, there's one more type of fish they have, halibut.
Mm-hmm.
These fish are taken as soon as they're caught. They're frozen instantly and then kept on the boat and then brought back. So they're actually fresher than fresh fish. But in going to their website, you can order, fish from them, be it salmon, be it the halibut or tuna, and they'll have it shipped to your house in 2 days. Right. But it's not farm raised, so you don't have any fish that are getting shot up with all the hormones and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's supposed to be a better, healthier fish. And now, they're a little bit expensive. I mean, prices vary from about $16 to $25 a pound when you have it shipped down to you. But it's pretty interesting.
But you're not doing smoked salmon in this salad here. No.
No, I'm not putting smoked salmon in this salad.
Well, I'm okay. All right.
All right. None for you, huh?
None for me. I'm gonna pass.
Yeah, if we had some salmon, I could cook it in the old dishwasher again. You know, like we did that one time.
Did you?
Yeah. Just took a fillet of it, wrapped it up in foil. You know, seasoned it up, put a little butter on it and seasonings, and wrapped it real tightly in foil. Put it in the top of the rack of the dishwasher, and. It poached it as it did the dishes.
Kind of steamed it or something. Where did you hear that?
From Henry, actually.
He would.
Yeah, Henry said, you can do that. So I did it. Now, of course, we pulled that piece of fish out of the dishwasher, and Skylar was looking for the peanut butter and jelly.
I would imagine she wouldn't.
Playing that stuff.
I bet you she was.
She's pretty game for eating different things, isn't she?
Yeah, she's pretty up. But, hey, fish coming out of the dishwasher.
She didn't want any part of that.
Not supposed to do that.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, now, Candace usually doesn't like fish unless it's breaded. And I heard her in there picking and chomping. And, she was eating her fill of it. She was really having at it.
She liked it,
which was really good. So, it can be done. Now, I think different types of foods are fishes. You know, of course, back in college, we'd put the hot dogs in foil on the manifold of the car when we drove the other side of town.
I've done that.
Something like that, you know. Cook those up.
Well,
cooked one is done. Putting it back in the fridge. And now I'm going to check on our Jell-O that I did a little bit earlier. Because last time we did Jell-O on the show, it never set in time.
That's right.
Basically, what we did with the Jell-O, we did it, just made it, prepared it to the box directions. Which I bought one of the larger boxes of strawberry banana, and you want to get 2 cups of water boiling. Once you get your 2 cups of water, your boiling water, you want to add the gelatin mix to it. Dissolve it in, mix it up, and then add another 2 cups of water, and then put it in the refrigerator to set. I put mine in the freezer so it would chill a little bit quicker. Once it gets fairly chilled, not set solid, but just to where it's starting to set up and become
Jell-O.
To become kind of a very loose Jell-O. We want to dump in a small tub
of fruit.
Cool Whip.
Okay.
And just beat that up.
Wow, that sounds good.
Hey, you know, Cool Whip now is child-proofed. Let me see if I can get in this here thing. There
child-proof
we go.
Cool Whip. That's amazing.
It sounds good, though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It makes a real light, fluffy Jell-O type dessert.
You want my knife?
Fancy to it. After
I
mix this in, I'm just going to dump the Cool Whip in on top. Run the blender, or the mixer, I'm sorry.
Oh.
So we'll have a few sound effects on today's show, y'all.
What a deal. All right. We need
And then I've also got some of these walnuts, some chopped walnuts that were left over from the Waldorf salad that I'll add in there. To give it a little extra flavor.
So,
that's strictly an option.
This is a meatless supper, isn't it?
Pretty much, except for the chicken.
Oh, okay. I forgot about chicken.
Yeah, that's we're going to be popping that in the oven again. That goes for just about an hour.
You don't have that in yet?
Not yet. The oven's still preheating.
Preheating,
I'm a little lax today, too. Moving a little slow.
Speaking of hot dogs, a friend of mine and I cooked them one time. We cut a cord off something and cut a couple nails, I swear this, and put a nail in each end, wrapped a wire around it, and plugged it in. And it, believe me, it'll work. Cooks them in about 20 seconds.
I bet it does.
And you can hear it sizzling. You leave it, it would burst or bust if you left
that's
it long enough.
Wow.
About 20 seconds, it'll you. It's time, it's time for James Coney Island, guys.
Wow.
That is great. Now, I wonder if you could do that, out on the road, hook up something to your car battery.
I don't know about that.
On through there like that.
Well,
that would be pretty neat.
I saw an electric hot dog cooker that worked like that. It had 6 places. It had 12 little deals, and it went across a little thing, and you put the wiener across. this thing, and when you close the lid, that's the way it cooked them. If you open the lid, of course, it turned the juice off.
Uh-huh.
But so I thought, well, hell, you could just take two nails.
I remember those little gadgets.
Well, that's how I did it. That was its way of cooking.
It was kind of like cooking them by electrocution, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it was cooking by electrocution. It was, you know, if you could circumvent the safety, you could hurt yourself bad.
Well, I bet it sounded neat, though.
It did. When they really got to sizzling, it sounded, but it didn't take long to cook them, guys.
Man.
Well,
that's
like
wild.
Okay, got the timer set for the chicken. We've got the chicken in the oven now.
All right.
Yeah, this new the new studio here has got a wall oven combo with a microwave above it. And the microwave door pulls down like an oven door does.
Oh.
So it's taken a little bit of getting used to figuring out where everything is.
Yeah, that's pretty different.
Yeah, I've gone in there a couple times looking for the oven, and whoops, microwave, or vice versa.
Yeah.
This is the new set for cooking in the dark.
Hmm. Yeah, okay.
There is a cooking in the dark, not a cooking, but something similar to cooking in the dark. It's a television show.
Yes, it's Cooking Without Looking.
Yeah,
is the name of it. It's produced in a PBS studio in Florida. And, in fact, I had contacted them at one time to try to get them to fly us down there and put us all on the show with them. But they wanted a videotape of us preparing something in the kitchen together before. I guess they wanted to see what we look like. We can all kind of hide behind the radio here.
Yeah.
But I will tell y'all today, I do have my Cooking in the Dark apron on. And I've also got my bra t-shirt on, the Blind Rifle Association shirt.
Yeah.
Nice and tactile so you can feel it. It's got a scope on the back, says Blind Rifle Association member. So give me a call and we can get some of those out to you as well. We're selling those for the scholarship funds as well.
All right.
Whatever we can do to put some more kids through school. I figure the more blind kids we get educated and get out in the real world, the sooner the world's going to have to start giving us a few services, helping us out a little bit.
That's it.
Okay, that's
well,
nice and mixed up.
I want to do some handyman T-shirts, but I got too much on my plate right now to fool with it. But I do.
Hey, that'd
I do,
be a great idea.
I do want to do that, and I appreciate you sending me that information. I
yeah,
want to do
the,
it. I just don't
the,
have
the
time.
The gentleman
right now.
I use for him, he does a fantastic job, and like I said, they're nice and tactile. So
yeah.
Not only can we see them, but
everybody else,
you know, everybody else can see them as well. He does a really nice, classy job.
Well, our engineer is signaling that it's break time, so I guess we could take a break and be right back with Dale Campbell and Cooking in the Dark on the Blind Handyman Show. Be back in just a second. Hang on.
November 7th, 2004, in Houston, Texas, we'll record our 100th Blind Handyman Show, and you're invited to the celebration. We'll arrive Friday, November 5th, at the Sheraton on JFK Boulevard. Saturday, we'll spend the day talking about issues related to blindness. Then Saturday night, it's on to live music and karaoke. Sunday morning at 11 a.m., we'll record our 100th Blind Handyman Show, and we've got something special planned for Sunday afternoon. Then Sunday night, it's more live music and karaoke. A great time to meet old friends and make new ones. For more information, call 936-634-9500 or email philparr@txucon.net. We'll see you in Houston in November. We promise you a great hotel, a good time, and perfect weather. Call 936-634-9500 or email philparr@txucon.net.
This is the Blind Handyman. Be sure and tell a friend about the program and email us often from blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Now, here's more of the show with Don Shaw.
All right, we are back to do a little cooking in the dark.
Yes, sir.
And we are cooking in the dark. We got a cloudy, rainy day down here.
Oh, man, it's beautiful here.
Is it?
Yeah.
I'll take some of that sunshine.
Oh, it's great.
That cool
man.
Weather. Well, we were lucky to dive old Dodge old Ivan and everybody out there that had to mess with him. Boy.
Sorry about that, Chief.
Hate that.
What? Hate what? I'm
oh,
lost.
The old Ivan coming in.
Oh, yeah.
Hurricanes.
Yeah.
When they get inside the Gulf, everybody keeps an eye on those crazy things.
Oh, yeah.
They are not good. But anyway, All right, fellas, we have got the crispy chicken. Like Phil said, kind of like a shake and bake. And in fact, if you want to go to coat that chicken, what I did, I got these cool trays that are being that we sell now at Blind Mice. But they're like three trays. They're about 11 inches long, 6 inches wide, and about 2 inches deep. And they actually lock together. So in one of them you can put breadcrumbs. One you can put your flour mixture. You know, whatever you're dredging and doing say, different items in, you can lock as many as three of these trays together so they're right next to each other. And boom, boom, boom. No drips, no mess, no fuss on any of the cabinet space or anything.
Like a little assembly line. That could be handy.
Yeah. But also, you know, do the shake and bake thing. If you, you know, the Rice Krispies, when I chopped them up today in the food processor, but in the past sometimes I put them in a Ziploc bag and then run a rolling pin over them, take them down.
Yeah.
And while they're in the, just leave them in the bag. And once you dip your chicken, either in the flour, your egg and flour mixture or whatever, and then you go to dip it in the, you know, your breading, and just leave it in the, you know, leave it in the bag.
I do it like
bag.
That quite often.
Dump it in the bag, shake it up, and take it on out.
Yeah.
So that works out really well. But the chicken is baking at 350 degrees for about an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And again, what you want to do is crush your Rice Krispies up and add the paprika to them, and then that creates your breading mixture. Then in another bowl you want to froth together some milk, about a cup of milk and a couple eggs, and then to that you want to mix in a cup of flour and add some seasonings, like we added poultry seasoning as well as some salt and pepper. If you want to add anything else, a little touch of garlic or something, go ahead and mix that all up together, and then take your chicken, just basically dredge it or dip it into your flour and milk mixture, and then roll it in your breadcrumb, your Rice Krispie coating, put it on your rack. And when you bake this, now you want to use like a shallow baking pan covered, you know, line it with foil or spray it down real good with a vegetable spray. What I did on mine, I used a real shallow, like a brownie pan, and I used a combined it with a cooling rack for cakes and cookies and such.
In the bottom, yeah.
Yeah, so I laid it so it has a little bit of air under it, so it'll bake on all the way around.
Well, your batter won't stick to the pan if you do that. I mean,
right. It won't be that big of a mess to clean up. And you don't want to cover this when it's baking. Just let it bake. And then to go with this also, we did the all-day crock pot macaroni and cheese. I say using a crock pot is so easy. It's so simple, and stuff comes out really delicious. But
it does.
It was just elbow macaroni. We boiled it up, prepared it up, and then mixed it up with some paprika and some cheese and some evaporated milk and regular milk, a little salt and pepper. Threw it all in the crock pot, basically. Covered it with a little more cheese that we had and turned it on low and let it go for about 6 or 7 hours. And it'll be done, served piping hot. But one thing you want to make sure you do, too, is spray down the inside of that crock pot with a little vegetable spray or something to prevent everything from sticking, or that cheese. If there's any that bakes in there, it's going to be a mess. If it cooks to the side, it'll be a while to clean that dude out.
Yeah, so you want to run that crock pot on low, don't you?
You want to run it on low. Really, I mean, even if some recipes say you can cook it on low or high, but I'd say always try to plan on going on low
if you
can.
Got cheese.
Oh, especially with cheese. Yeah, you're right, because it will bake to the side.
Oh, yeah, that could be.
Remember, we had a Halloween party one time, and we did like a cheese dip thing where we mixed some refried beans and the cheese dip all together and put it in the crock pot.
Yeah.
And it didn't take long with that dude being on high for it to start baking to the side.
Yeah.
Wow.
You could, like, chip it off and eat it as a cookie almost instead
it's,
of dipping your chip in there.
Time for fondue. Remember those?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Boy, people went crazy about that at one time. Fondue.
Oh, fondue.
What was it? Hello? Who are you calling?
Hello. Sorry about that.
thought you were calling the weather.
A phone call.
Yeah, check the weather line.
Check
what's
the weather
that sports
line.
Report
right.
say?
See what the time is. Call us.
Then, let's see. We also prepared a Waldorf salad. And the Waldorf salad is basically just some apples chopped up, some walnuts, celery, and raisins combined with a little mayonnaise and a little nutmeg mixed all together and then served, you know, chilled as you would a salad. Now, another way to serve it, if you want it, you can get kind of creative and tear off a nice leaf of romaine or green leaf lettuce, put it on a plate, and then scoop out some of the Waldorf salad and serve it on top of the green.
Yeah.
Just on top of a leaf. Give it that little, the elegant, a little what I call the pinky in the air. You know, put the bow tie on, take a drink, and have your pinky in the air when you're taking a sip.
Well, every Waldorf salad I've ever eaten in a restaurant has smoked salmon in it, so I don't know.
I looked at there was four different recipes for Waldorf I looked at,
really?
And each one of them was a little bit different.
So
and,
this is
you know, I think in this case you could add gosh, practically anything you wanted to. You know, some had, they called for raisins, others called for more or less of this or that. The salmon idea, the smoked salmon in it would be excellent. That would give it a really nice distinct flavor.
If you like smoked salmon. Yes. A lot of folks don't.
Now, I do.
I got to write this place that you're talking about. Send me their email address, if you don't
mind. Yeah, I'll do that. They've got stuff. In fact, they do have the smoked salmon from them, as well as, you know, the stuff frozen and fresh. They've got all types of different things. That's vitalsigns.com. Tell them you heard about them on the Cooking in the Dark show.
Vital Signs.
Vital Signs.
V-I-T-A-L.
I'm pretty sure that's
interesting name.
Yeah,
the name. If anybody out there needs that address, just give me just drop me a line at cookinginthedark@houston.rr.com, and I'll be happy to.
They got a phone number? You got a phone number?
Yeah, you can. They've got an 800 line, I believe, as well as you can order right online.
Yeah, I'll have to.
They've even got an auto ship thing set up where you can, if there's something you want from them, you can set it up to have it shipped to you every 6 weeks or something like that. Everything comes in different packages. Usually it's about 6 ounce fillets that they cut them down into.
Man.
And then you can order 6 or 12 of those, all vacuum packed, or they have bigger. You know, big old pieces of salmon, too, that you can order for smoking and stuff.
I'll take the big, already pre-smoked.
There
surely
you go.
They've got some already smoked on ice salmon.
That's excellent. Yeah,
yeah,
it's really a nice sight.
Fish is good for you. I mean, fish is what you should be eating if you have a heart condition like I do.
Yeah,
right.
All this polluted water, that fish is great.
I don't know what makes water in one part of the world better than water in another part of the world. It seems like it'd be all interconnected, but... This fish is all supposed to be, they claim to pull it straight out of the North Atlantic or whatever, I guess, or the North Pacific or whatever up there around Alaska and such, and everything's supposed to be line caught and this, that, and the other. So,
and there's mad cow disease,
website,
Pat.
It's a really nice organization.
Donald?
Yes, sir.
Mad cow.
Oh, no, I was just going by the latest thing I read here in East Texas, of all of our lakes, there are only two that didn't hit the polluted list, like and Lake Livingston were not on the list. But of all of the other surrounding lakes have some kind of mercury problems or, you know.
Yeah, I mean, Lake Houston's been on that list for, a long time, hasn't it?
Yes.
Well, we had these paper mills, Abitibi and Company, that just fled the scene. You know, they went back to Canada. they've left a lot of damage in their wake.
Right.
You can't mean it.
No, that's true, yeah.
Yeah, they have. Of course, we don't, our cows don't get mad, they get eaten.
I don't know that I've ever eaten a real cow because I eat at McDonald's. So
that's true. No danger getting too much cholesterol from meat there, is there?
Not there. Yeah,
absolutely.
Not there.
Absolutely.
So,
what?
We are just, this is nice. I was really worried we weren't going to have time to get everything finished today.
Oh, you got through early. We've got about 10 minutes left.
Dale, I've got a question.
Doing some of the stuff ahead of time, the Jell-O and such, and chopping some of the stuff up. Sorry we didn't get to have the sound effects this week.
Yeah.
Mr. Don has a question for you here.
I got something for you, Dale.
Okay.
For the members here that are listening on reading radio services and things that aren't list members, if you can believe that. But anyway, for these type of folks, I want to ask you about something that y'all have talked about from time to time on the list. These electric smokers, you know, talking about smoked salmons and things like that.
Yes.
The electric smoker that you have bought at Academy in different places.
Right.
You'd talk a little bit about that.
We kind of got, and there's several of us on the list that use different smokers. Henry, for instance, uses a gas smoker, which runs on propane. Once you get it adjusted and get all the vents and baffles set, they're really good to go. They're nice units, and they run on gas. Then there's regular charcoal smokers, which are basically just a smoker unit, which is a bottom, like, pan area where you would have the charcoal at, the heating area, and then on top of it sits a big water pan that basically covers up the heat from going directly into the food. It goes through the heats up the pan and causes it to kind of steam, and as the smoke from the charcoal and the wood chips down below goes up and around the meat, it actually cooks more with the smoky flavor in the meat and cooks very slowly. Uh-huh. But these electric smokers that we have, that they're just, you can't beat them.
That sounds convenient.
It's mine is a Brinkman, and I got it at Academy, which is just a local sporting goods store.
We have them here now.
Oh, great. Yeah. We've seen them at Oshman's. We've seen them at Home Depot, at Lowe's. They're all over the place. In some areas, I'm sure they're going to be probably more seasonal than other areas. But these electric smokers are nice. They're about 18 to 24 inches in diameter.
Uh-huh.
They're tall. My unit has two racks in it, and to which I can do up to probably 20-pound turkeys.
Man, it helps.
At a time.
A lot, doesn't it?
Once you get it, cooking time will kind of vary depending on outside temperatures. I estimate usually around 45 minutes to an hour per pound for a turkey. Meat, ribs, brisket, things like that. Ribs are about 40 to 45 minutes. Just give you an estimate. If you look at a brisket, all right, this is a 5-pound brisket. Brisket, I go about 30 to 40 minutes. So I figure a 5-pound brisket, 2.5 to 3 hours. Then I'll go back out and check it, slide in the old, talking meat thermometer and see what the temperature, what the internal temperature is, and just go off of that.
So enlighten me, Dale, someone who does not care for or eat smoked meat. What makes the smoke in an electric smoker?
Actually, it's wood chips that you put in the bottom.
Okay.
Do you soak?
You can either buy different wood chips from, say, an apple tree, a mesquite tree, pecan tree, different items like different trees to get a different smoke flavor.
Are they specifically made for an electric smoker? An element there?
There is a heating element in the bottom that sits on top of, like, the lava rocks that you find in, in a gas grill.
The old gas grills.
Right. Charles out in Arizona wrote in and said he replaced his lava rocks with a ceramic briquette, and cleanup is so much easier, and that makes tons of sense. I've taken little made foil baskets, about 8 inches long, a couple inches wide, and a couple inches high that I'll put my wood chips in. I soak them about an hour and then put them in. I had some wood chunks, but I ran out of those, so I had to use what I had last time. But big, wood chunks are, like a tree limb, maybe a 3 or 4 inch diameter tree limb, just cut off about 2 inches wide. So it's just like a big chunk of wood in there as well. But that's what creates the smoke. Now, some people will actually save apple skins, like when they peel a bunch of apples, or pineapple rinds, and save those and put those into smoke with as well, because you don't need to use the meat all the time. I've used it, too, where I didn't put any wood in it to smoke before. Just let it cook the meat real slow.
Also, I heard
more of an outside slow cooker, if you will.
Yeah.
To eliminate some of that smoky flavor. But one thing I think, in using these electric smokers, there is a slight smoky flavor to it.
Yeah.
But it's not as strong or as harsh as sometimes you get at some of these smokehouses.
Uh-huh.
Sure.
Where sometimes they smoke their meat for 24 hours.
Now, do you use water with this electric smoker or not?
Yeah. It has a water pan just like a regular smoker.
Okay.
Above it. Now, the Brinkman model I have has a little door on the back of it that you can open up to, put more water in the pan with it, which is really nice.
That's a handy feature.
Yeah, which is something to look for. But once you get your smoker, you're going to have to experiment with it, because there's not really one thing that's nice with them. It's very hard to overcook something unless you leave it on there for days and days at a time.
With
an hour or an hour and a half over or too much time isn't going to do that much damage to the meat, because it is cooking so slowly. I did a London broil on it, which I did cook a little too long. I left it on about 3 hours. I should have probably left it on about an hour. And because that meat was such a small cut of meat, it really dried it out.
Uh-huh.
But, again, just experimenting, you never know.
Now, does this smoker have a thermostat on it, or do you just plug it in and the heat is what you get?
Plug it in and the heat is what you get.
Okay.
So there's no, with the gas smokers or the regular charcoal smokers, or the ones where you start them with charcoal and you start putting wood in them.
Hmm.
You've always got to be on top of it. You've got to read the temperature gauge to keep your temperature just right. You've got to open baffles, close baffles, things like that to let them, cook cooler or cook hotter.
Yeah.
With this little electric dude, it's pretty much almost no nonsense. You just,
I like that.
Put your wood chips and stuff in the bottom, and then you set the top cylinder on top of the bottom tray, and then the top cylinder is where you put your water pan, fill it up with water. Then set your, one grill goes on top of the water pan, another grill will support it about a foot above the lower one. Whatever you're doing in there.
The top one cooks faster than the bottom one. You wouldn't think that, but it does.
It sure does.
Because the top one gets reflected heat.
Right. The bottom one is a little bit more protected because it does have that big basin of water underneath it.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But, the top does cook faster. here's the corn, y'all. I took, you know, corn on the cob, wrapped it in foil, put it on there for about an hour and a half, about 2 hours.
Oh, man.
And it was just, you would bite into it and it would just fall off in your
chicken
mouth.
Chicken legs, you marinate them in wishbone salad dressing overnight and then do them about 6 hours, and I guarantee it'll make you slap your Aunt Martha.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, that's something that's mentioned in that marinade, which is so nice now. When you go to the, you know, your grocery store, they've got tons and tons of different marinades
it's
now already pre-made.
Oh, yeah.
You know, for Caribbean jerk or pineapple this or, you know, and several different companies are making them too. So there's a lot of choice and selection and different marinades. But, yeah, I do like Phil says, just drop them in a, you know, a Ziploc bag, marinate them overnight.
Yeah.
Ooh, throw them on a smoker. And, you know, these smokers aren't that expensive.
They're not. 70 bucks.
Yeah, I want to say we paid like $50 for mine.
Yeah.
We were going on a fun run with some friends of ours on their boat, and I was going to bring the smoked turkey, and he got out there and plugged that dude in about 5:30 in the morning and went back out, walked Skylar out to go to school about 7, and there was nothing coming out. It was like,
I don't know how the I don't know how the other ones do, but with the charcoal one, you build a fire, put the water in, don't forget the water, build the fire, put the water in, put the meat on, put the top on, and leave it alone.
Yes.
Don't go back and look at it and fool with it, because every time you open it, the temperature goes way down.
The heat, yeah.
You lose everything.
Just leave it alone, it'll do fine. If you when you think it's done, if it's not done, build a little fire and put it on back, you know, back again.
Right.
I've done
it. And, I mean, you know, when usually, like, most of them, like you're talking, the charcoal ones, they've got a little trap door somewhere on them you can open up and peek in. And
that's right.
See, you know, if you need more wood or something, you can add it to it. You can always tell by just walking out and look. I mean,
put your hand on top of it. If it's not, if it's not hot, you got a problem.
Yeah, it's not hot. Put some more wood on it.
Thank you, Dale. Dale Campbell, we appreciate you, and we'll
all
see
right,
you.
All right, and everybody, Cooking in the Dark cookbooks are out. Join us. Come be with us on the list. Cooking in the Dark dash subscribe at acbradio.org. You won't go wrong.
Thank you, sir.
Gentlemen, we'll see you in a few weeks.
We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. Tom Houston, Don Shaw, Don Patterson.
Yeah, all right.
I'm Phil Parr. We'll see you next week with another Blind Handyman show. Thank you very much for listening. I see you said the blind man as you picked up his hammer and saw.
Blind Handyman is produced by Out of Market Productions, 1604 Southwood Drive, Lufkin, Texas. Phone 936-634-9500.